When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. It is now time to recap some college basketball. So on Saturday, number 17 Kansas upset number 2 Baylor 71-58. The Jayhawks were 4.5-point home underdogs. What were your thoughts on this game, Kevin? Obviously, huge upset.
Yeah, no, this is huge. Baylor loses their first game of the season. They had a long COVID pause, came out of it playing Iowa State as 24-point favorites. They trailed at half. They only won that game by single digits. Clearly something looked off. It was their first game of the, you know, game back from that long delay. So I didn't want to say we dismissed it, but we figured, okay, game under their belt, they'll be fine. They go to Allen Fieldhouse, a place that they won for the first time last year in 20 years, trying to make it happen again, trying to sweep Kansas on the season, and they were unable to do that. 71-58, Baylor's offense just didn't look the same. 6 of 16 from the line is something they will hang their head in shame over. Wasn't much better, though, really anywhere. 35% from the field, 23% from three. This is one of the best offensive teams in the country. For Baylor, we will have to wait and see. I think the COVID pause has clearly impacted the Baylor Bears. But I got to give Kansas a world of credit here, Aaron. This is a team that's been wrongly lumped in with your Dukes and your Kentuckys and your UNCs. No, this team is very good. One of the 15 best in the country. They are 35-1 to win the title. That's up from 45-1 to win the title. I think they are absolutely in that conversation. I'm very impressed by Kansas. They won this game despite shooting 3 of 16 from beyond the arc. It's an impressive win for Kansas.
Yeah, definitely an impressive win. But just in professional sports and collegiate sports, having that break due to COVID seems to be obviously a big factor when trying to come back from that and kind of just have that strength and whatnot moving forward in obviously upcoming games. But another game that happened Saturday that I want to mention, number 5 Illinois beat number 22 Wisconsin 74-69. While that might not be a big deal, it was an upset in terms of a betting perspective because Illinois was 5-point road underdogs in this game.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, right? You see that little number next to a team, 5 versus 23, 5 must have been favorite. Absolutely not, especially in this game. First of all, being at home in college hoops or in college in general always does matter a lot. You said it, Wisconsin was laying that 5 points. It was also because Illinois was without their best player. Ayo Dosunmu, who's going to probably be a first-team All-American, unavailable for them in this game, and Illinois still gets the job done. Kofi Coburn, 19-7. Curbelo comes off the bench in a big way with 17 points as well, limiting Wisconsin to only 69 points and 26 in the first half. Was very impressive. Illinois, Aaron, is going to put some pressure on Ohio State, maybe even Villanova as well, for a number one overall seed, currently tied with Houston for the fifth best odds in the country at 18-1. This Illinois team is for real. They have the most quadrant one wins, 8 of any team in the entire country.
And welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. We are right now recapping some of the college hoops games that happened on Saturday. Now, one other one that we're going to mention that was on the board, unranked UNC, which is just crazy to even say unranked UNC, wins over number 11 FSU. Now, Walker Kessler had 20 points for UNC in that game. Were you surprised by this upset?
This is, without a doubt about it, it's got to be UNC's best win of the year. 78-70 over a top 10 squad. I know 11, but for me, Florida State's a top 10 team in the country. In Florida State, it is so impressive, and it was even more impressive because they trailed at the break by 12. They win the second half 49-29. Offensive explosion, defensively, to hold Florida State to 29 second half points was incredible. Below 40% from the field for Florida State, under 30% from three. A lot of these blue bloods are putting some results under the belt that are making people wonder. Duke, Michigan State, Kentucky, but they're also giving them those games back. You know, we saw Michigan State lose to Maryland. We saw Duke lose to Louisville at home. Kentucky loses to Florida. UNC looks to be, again, of those blue bloods that are having those down seasons, maybe the most secure in actually getting themselves into the NCAA tournament. With results like this, there's no wonder why. That is an awesome win for the Tar Heels, and it also was the 900th career win for Roy Williams, so a credit to him as well.
That's crazy to think about, isn't it? Imagine winning that many times. Another thing I want to quickly mention, number 18 Texas Tech beat number 14 Texas 68-59, but it was not an upset as the Red Raiders were 4-point home favorites. But I do want to mention unranked Oklahoma State upset number 7 Oklahoma 94-90 in overtime as 6-point road underdogs. Kevin, I know there's one player you want to mention for this game.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham, the projected number one overall pick. He's been projected to have this spot before the collegiate season started. He's done absolutely nothing to make people think that it should be anybody else. A double-double here, 40 points, 11 boards, 12 of 21 from the floor, and a beautiful 13 of 14 from the line. Cade Cunningham is as special of a player to come through the collegiate game in quite some time.
Yeah, and something you just don't see every game, seeing a player score 40 points. Stay with us here on The Early Line. We're going to talk some more college hoops after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Let's stick with college hoops since, you know, it's finally March. It's March 1st. I feel like sometimes in February you forget when the month ends, but nonetheless, it's March. We're going to be talking a lot of college hoops over the next month, but yesterday for college hoops, number 8 Nova lost to unranked Butler, 73-61. Number 9 Iowa dominated Ohio State, 73-57. Iowa has won 5 of their last 6. Number 12 Houston dominated South Florida, easily winning 98-52. Blowout there. Anything you want to mention for these games, Kev?
Yeah, so a little bit on all of them, because these were all really, really fun games to follow. First of all, Villanova. That loss to Butler is ugly. They shot 2-for-27 from 3. I mean, it's such a bad number.
Terrible.
You're almost like, all right, whatever, we'll just throw the game out. The over actually did cash in this game, though, thanks to Butler going 50% from the field and 42% from 3. So thank you to Butler for cashing an over. Iowa, Ohio State. Hawkeyes, biggest win of the season, no doubt about it. Every single time they've stepped up in class, they've lost. Gonzaga had them. Michigan dominated them. Illinois got them. Like, they've not been able to beat any of these elite squads to win in Columbus. Undeniably the best win for Iowa all year long. For Ohio State, they've now lost three games in a row. Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa. They're probably, if the season ended today, not a one seed. I would think they would give that up to Illinois. And then lastly, Houston and USF. What can I say about this Houston team? I bet the over in this game, and I just adore this Houston squad. I mean, they scored 56 points in the first half. They were this close to getting to 100. They scored 98. Look, we talk a lot about Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and rightfully so. There's a reason why a team like Houston, out of the American, has the fifth best odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win it. They are great defensively. They've recently been lighting it up on the offensive side of the ball. Aaron as well. This Houston team is for real.
Yep. And it's funny because this Houston team actually scored more points than the Houston Rockets yesterday.
Oh my gosh. So just keep in mind there.
There's that 98 points for Houston, but then for the Rockets, what, 84? So just all around, I don't know what's going on in Houston. There's a curse in Houston, but at least one of their teams is doing well. Nonetheless, let's talk about some games that are on the board tonight that we want to get to. Speaking of ranked teams, Miami versus number 15, Virginia. So Virginia right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook is favored -14.5. The total is at 124.5. Kevin, is this a game where Virginia will snap out of its defensive funk as they enter this game on a three-game losing streak? The Canes have not really been close to anyone, really, on the road since beating NC State back in early January. We're seeing this could technically be an easy win, but do you think maybe Miami could cover in this one, or would you more so look at the total for this game?
Yeah, so I think both numbers are really fascinating. That 14.5 for Miami, they've lost six straight games. They've covered twice, though, in that run. They're terrible. There's no two ways about it. In conference this season, 3-14, they've been getting beat up on all year long in the ACC. But this is a number that you got a Virginia squad here laying that's now lost three in a row. And all of the games progressively worse. Two-point dogs at Florida State. They lose by 21. That's really ugly. All right, maybe we'll forgive it, though. Florida State was hot. They're favored in Duke. They have no ability to score the basketball in the second half. They lose 66-65. That's a gut punch there, though. All of a sudden, you've given the Blue Devils life. You go back to NC State, double-digit favorite, on your home floor. 11-point favorites. They lose by 7? I mean, it's unbelievable right now for Virginia. This is almost a case, Aaron, where seeing is believing. I can't lay 14.5 points with a squad that is this cold. But I also have a little bit of a lean to the over in this game. I know when you see Virginia, you think under. That's because the numbers are so low. But you can still get over numbers this low. The over has cashed in three straight Virginia games now. They are 7-3 to the over at home this season. I think we could see a really strong offensive game here from Virginia and do a lot of the heavy lifting on this total. Look, there's a world in which they win this game by 22 points and Miami doesn't even crack 50. That's absolutely a thing that could happen here. But for me, seeing is believing. I lean right now with the U, and I like the over.
Interesting. Yeah. Another game that I'm most excited about tonight, number 7 Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. So these teams obviously just played. We talked about this earlier in the show. They played actually on Saturday when freshman star Cade Cunningham, he scored 40 points, 10 in overtime. Not to mention that game, they scored 184 points. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the total for this game is 141.5, and Oklahoma is favored -1. So which is kind of surprising because you think being ranked number 7 going against an unranked team, you know, that spread would be obviously even further. But these teams just played, went into overtime. Oklahoma State had that upset. But Oklahoma State is not a bad unranked team. They're actually pretty decent.
Yeah, I would actually even say when this game gets underway, Oklahoma State won't be unranked anymore. They, in the past week, had a win over Texas
Tech.
Right
on that edge.
And then over Oklahoma. My expectation is they find themselves in the top 25. I don't want to go crazy and say they're going to be ranked over Oklahoma, but Oklahoma had a really bad loss this past week to Kansas State as well. Only beat Iowa State by 10. So this is going to be a really close game, and the spread indicates that it's going to be a very close game as well. When you go through some of the numbers for these squads here, right, you have the first half trend with Oklahoma State, something we've talked about here on this show. It's one of my favorite. Overall, they are 11-3 against the spread and straight up in the first half in conference. They did just lose that first half, 38-31 to Oklahoma, and they didn't cover. Well, Oklahoma State has won and covered every single first half home spread. Every single one of them. So that's just a trend that I think you have to look at when it comes to this game. A couple of interesting trends, though, when you go through this. Oklahoma is 7-1 against the spread as a road dog, but they are 4-4 straight up. So you see how this pick'em really matters here, where, oh, they're great as a dog, but yeah, because they can cover numbers. They're not always winning. Conversely, you got an Oklahoma State team 3-4 against the spread as a home favorite, but they're 6-1 straight up as a home favorite here. I think the straight up numbers matter a lot more. I think Oklahoma State, though, getting 2 in a row off the Sooners could be a really big ask. I think you're better off backing this first half trend here, Aaron, and then playing it live. I think that's the way I would play it right now.
Yeah, because you'd kind of need Cade Cunningham to come out and have such a big game again. And can he do that back-to-back? And like you said, beating the Sooners twice in a row. That line is so short already with Oklahoma -1 right now. And then I think this is, you know, one of those games where maybe you take the over as well, considering they scored 184 points. Right now it's at 141.5. I know you love taking the over, but is that a play you would use in terms of the total for this game?
Yeah, so I think when you see a game, obviously, that's high scoring, and we know that it went to overtime. You always have to double check, did it go over before overtime? Yeah, you better believe it. 75-75, so there were 150 points. You still cleared the pregame number by about 10.
Yep.
So you can get involved in that way. I think one of the other things, too, Aaron, and you and I have talked about this a little bit on air, a little bit off air as well, the player props on the FanDuel Sportsbook as it pertains to college, something that they're opening up a lot more now. There's going to be player props for this game. I promise you that. And Cade Cunningham's number is going to be fascinating to see, because he averages on the season now about 20 points per game. But people are going to want to bet the over on that, and he's coming off a game where he scored 40. I think that Cade Cunningham number, I would probably guess it's about 22.5 to 23.5. Anything lower, you probably take the over. Anything higher than that, I would be very, very careful with those Cade Cunningham numbers.
Definitely. And like you said, speaking about player props, I had originally said on the show, like, hey, for college sports, you can't really bet player props. We've been seeing with these games, there's certain ones that do have the player props posted. So maybe before the game, make sure you go through them and look for them. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We're going to wrap up college hoops right now with the lines for UNC Syracuse. Right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, I'm seeing North Carolina -2 over Syracuse on the road, total at 149.5. Kevin, anything you like for this game?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure we got to this one because UNC is going to be a team to watch, no doubt about it. And this is one where I expect the Tar Heels to be a popular pick. They've already had a point added to the spread since the last night when I looked at this one before I had gone to sleep here. So here's what I would say. You have a UNC team that is 500 against the spread as a favorite. 8-8-1. You've got a Syracuse team that's 1-6 against the spread as an underdog. 1-6. But the spread is 2. The money line is only -130. UNC is 13-4 straight up as a favorite. Again, Syracuse only 1-6 straight up as an underdog. I'll pay the -130 if I wanted to back UNC in this game. I do think they're going to be a popular pick today. You've got a Syracuse team that has lost three games in a row. They have been, they are 11-1 though at home, Syracuse. So I don't know if they're going to be a crazy popular pick here. I think the spread is fair, but I just think the Tar Heels have so much on the line. I really, though, do think this is a sneaky under game. I think people are going to see this 149. They're going to be looked to slam in the over. These teams have already played this year, and that number checked in at 146. It did go over that in a game that was 81-75. However, this total is now up to 149.5, 3.5 points added to the total. The Carrier Dome, where Syracuse plays their home games, has actually been an underbuilding on the season, 9-3 to the under in the Carrier Dome. And for UNC, three of their last four road games have gone under. I always say it, Aaron, when I have the opportunity to throw an under in there, I try and take it, try and find the balance. I don't know, every five overs we give one under. I think it's a sneaky under game as well for Syracuse UNC.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you're taking the under there. I mean, that's set pretty high, 149.5 for that game. So no surprise there with the under, but always like when you give a little mix up there and take that. But let's get into the MLB. So it's back. Spring training has started. Games will be held in Florida and Arizona. The start was pushed back a day with a revised schedule. They are hoping to have fans in attendance both in spring training and in the regular season, which is kind of nice to hear. You know, maybe some normalcy coming back to our major and our professional sports here. But the league is prepared for 162 games season with an opening day on April 1st. Kevin, let's just overall talk about some of the biggest changes that we're going to have for spring training, because there's a lot of really surprising ones that we talked about before the show today.
So spring training yesterday, we had 14 games on the board. And as I'm going through the results here, Blue Jays, Yankees, final through seven, a lot of games, you know, final through seven. Then I see Pirates, Orioles, final through eight. Okay. Nationals, Cardinals ends 4-4 after nine innings. All right. What are we doing here? What's going on? So we had a Brewers, White Sox game that only went six. Same with the Rangers, Royals. There is no consistency in how long these games are going, which is why you will see on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're offering you lines for these games, no totals. That is because currently the rule is, in spring training, Aaron, that the managers just have to agree that they can end the game whenever they want. They can end it after five innings or seven innings or eight innings. Hey, you good here? You seen enough? Yeah, all right, cool. See you down the road. That. So you could be sad. You're like, all right, look, I got two more innings. I got my team here. I think we'll come up to bat. Nope. No, game over. See you later. So pretty wild, Aaron, that there is just a game.
Yeah, that's definitely wild.
After six innings, see you later. No more game.
Imagine if, like, two, you know, owners don't like each other, two GMs don't like each other, and they're trying to figure out when to end this game, when not to end the game. Like, could you imagine the fights on the phone? Like, come on, let's wrap this up. You know, we're at the seventh. No, I want to play to the ninth. Like, it just overall seems like the most ridiculous thing. Obviously, nobody wants anybody to get injured, anything like that. So I see why they're doing it in a way, but it kind of just is, like, outlandish at the same time. Like, right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, like you said, no totals posted. Also, the spread not posted at all. Right now, you can only really bet on the money line.
Yeah.
But it's so unpredictable that Kevin and I cannot come on the show and say, hey, we like this team in this game. There's just no really way that we can give you any type of picks and insights, because there's nothing to really go off of, because one, nothing's consistent. But just overall, when starting to bet on a sport, when it returns, you want to wait a couple games, see how people start playing, things shaking out, if there's any injuries, stuff we didn't know in the off season. But nonetheless, I mean, this is really, really hard to bet.
So, and there are some other quirks as well when it comes to this spring training. I will say, I agree with your sentiment. I understand you want to keep everybody healthy. If you've seen enough, you've seen enough. From what I understand right now, and again, we just started spring training yesterday, but from what I understand, it is not announced pre-game how long the game is going to be. Like, it is...
Yeah, it's in-game.
Like, the managers, like, look across the dugout, and they're like, yo, you good? Yep, cool. All right, guys, bring it in. Like, a practice. Like, but people really have money on this.
That must be weird as a player, too. Because you're like, all right, I'm going to play better in the next inning, and they're just like, the game's over.
So you think that's weird. So yesterday, right, the Arizona Diamondbacks were playing the Colorado Rockies. Zach Gallen was on the mound for the D-backs, a young, exciting pitcher. People have some high hopes for him. I'm sure he's probably one that people are watching in their fantasy baseball drafts. So Zach Gallen gets the game going, right? He gets a strikeout, walks a couple, a flyout. He's thrown 20-plus pitches. Two guys on, two outs. The Diamondbacks go, all right, inning over, we're up. What? What just happened? If your pitcher throws 20 or more pitches as the defensive team, you can end the inning. I've seen enough from my pitcher. I don't want to extend the arm too much. Inning over. Pardon? I have runners on. What are you talking about? The inning's over. It's called rolling it over. And Zach Gallen even said this. He's on the mound. He's out there. He's getting ready to pitch to the next batter. And they're screaming, roll it over, roll it over. He's like, what are you saying? And they were just like, end the inning. So not only can the game end at a moment's notice, you might have somebody in scoring position and the other team on defense gets to go, thank you, we've seen enough here, you can end the inning.
There needs to be more rules added to this, so that can't happen. Because if you're in a position to score and you're just like, yeah that's it. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's wild. Now the pitcher has to throw 20 plus pitches. I mean, it's not like, you know, the ball is in the air.
No, I understand that, but still.
Oh, it's crazy.
Maybe if someone's on third base, you have to keep playing. You can make it like one little rule like that. Something else has to change, but it just seems ridiculous. I keep saying ridiculous and crazy, but that's how it feels. And I was just thinking, it just popped in my head, like, as broadcasters, when you're reporting on a game or just people that are at the game, let's say, or it's being aired on TV. All right, we're going to stop this game. You have an hour of time to fill. What do people do?
So
all around, it's just this unknown uncertainty that's just going to trickle down.
Yeah, so here's what I will say, okay? These games right now, like, there's a bunch of games on at 1 o'clock, a lot of games on at 3 o'clock as well. All of this is to say, if you are going to bet the spring training games here in Major League Baseball, always bet a responsible amount. But I would say bet even less and just go into it looking to have some fun, okay? Now, maybe out there you truly...
It almost seems like a coin toss at this point.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
look,
it's not obviously 50-50 ever, but it's kind of like you don't really know.
We're not getting coin toss odds. Like, we got, like, the Yankees today are going up against the Detroit Tigers. The Yankees are minus 180. I mean, that's a big number. Like, minus 180 is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely, you know, but again, I think stuff like this is awesome. I think it's funny. Like, you're sat there, your team right now is pitching, a guy's on second, you're there counting pitches, you're like, all right, if he throws two more pitches, they can end the inning. He gets to 21. Your guy doesn't end the inning. You're like, end the inning, end the inning. Like, it's one of those things where I think that it can be fun. And I'll just quickly add on top of it too, Aaron. Yesterday, we saw underdogs go 7-6-1. Yes, money lines, we had a tie. And home teams were 7-6-1. So basically, everything was 500. I wrote in my notes, completely useless.
Did you actually write completely useless?
Yeah, I did. I can send you the screenshot. I legitimately wrote completely useless.
Yeah. I mean, overall for the MLB, the other thing they're going to have to deal with this season is COVID. We're going to still be dealing with this. There's supposedly in spring training, less players, more space. Teams can invite 75 players to camp. The MLB will also impose a delay between reporting and intake testing with a 5-day quarantine period. There's going to be altered schedules, more so for those in Florida, just because of travel between the hubs. But overall, I think these changes, and I hope that obviously the COVID cases decline just for the sake of America and the entire world. But they might be able to have this full season, just given that there is less contact in baseball and you're not, you know, in an ice hockey rink like the NHL. But I still think this is going to happen. We're going to have outbreaks in the MLB. We're not sure exactly how they are going to manage it, just given that, let's say, the entire team gets it. But nonetheless, it's something that we're going to have to be factoring into these games always.
Yeah. And one thing that I wanted to add, and when we come back, we have a little bit of sound from Aaron Judge that we want to play for you guys and talk a little bit about his odds to win MVP, because this is one of the most popular players in the league. But if you wanted an edge, an angle for today, here's one you can try. a team that is favored that lost yesterday. Again, I think that's just something to try. It's, you know, that's hard fair. For teams to lose two games in a row. I think that is something that can make a little bit of sense. But up against the break here, we'll be right back. More baseball talk on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the early line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204 for Kevin Walsh. I'm Erin Dolan. We were just talking about how the MLB is back. Spring training is underway. Kevin and I advise you not to put big money on these games. There's a lot of catch-22s with all of these games. We just talked about some of those rules before the break. But I want to play a clip right now from Aaron Judge on what he is doing and trying to do to stay healthy.
I think this first week, kind of go every other. I know I'm going to probably head to Sarasota, then play the back-to-back. I think we have a night game here at home, you know, so hopefully, you know, play a couple back-to-backs, days off, and then slowly ease into it. And maybe that last week of the season, be playing, you know, every single day, you know, ramping up to 9 innings. But, you know, it's taking it slow right now, you know, and especially when we're playing 7-inning games. We've been putting a lot of hard work in, you know, this offseason. You know, we're all ready to go, but, you know, just ease into it and, you know, get ready for the season.
Kevin, like Aaron Judge said, they're taking it slow when they're ramping up their innings potentially. Even he kind of, he's hinting kind of at, we don't really know how many innings we're going to play per game. What did you think on his comments there?
So look, Aaron Judge's health is incredibly important to not just the Yankees, but really all of Major League Baseball, and popularity-wise, but also from a futures perspective. You're talking about a guy that has the third best odds to win the American League MVP. Only Alex Bregman and Mike Trout are in front of him. Mike Trout, plus 220. He's the best player in the world, no doubt about it, but he cannot be plus 220 to win that award preseason. I think that's crazy. But then again, it speaks to how good he is. At the end of the day, for Aaron Judge, he's had one season under his belt in which he's been fully healthy. It was 2017. He had 52 home runs. He had 114 RBIs, and he probably should have won the MVP over Jose Altuve, especially retroactively as we found out that Altuve is a little cheater and a loser. So ultimately, if Aaron Judge is going to be healthy, he has the opportunity to win this award, no doubt about it, at 12-1. But you're also talking about the favorites to win the American League of the New York Yankees. They're plus 230 to win that American League. Behind them are the White Sox at plus 370. Then it's plus 750 on the Twins, and then a couple of teams there, and in that 9-1 range. Aaron Judge is one of the most important players in baseball, Aaron. Right now, the biggest, you know, thing for him, it's that availability. When he's out there, he's great.
Yep.
And even if you see him struggling, it's like, oh, yeah, but he's working his way back from injury. If Aaron Judge can get out there and play 150 games, he has a great chance to win MVP, and the Yankees have a great chance to win the American League.
And like you mentioned, right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, for him to win the American League MVP, it is at 12-1. So nonetheless, baseball is back. There are games that you can bet on for today. But again, just be careful and don't bet a ton of money on any of these games. But nonetheless, let's get into...
One thing I'll just say quickly for our team that is favored but lost yesterday, right now for the games that have odds available in the FanDuel Sportsbook, that would be the Yankees, the Phillies, the Oakland Athletics, and the San Diego Padres. If either the D-backs or the Rangers are favored, they would make the cut, and then whomever is favored between the Boston Red Sox and the Atlanta Braves. So four teams right now that you could bet on with a possibility of three more making the cut. A team that's favored off of a loss. If you're looking for, you know, a way to bet these games, maybe that could be an edge for you there.
Yep. Yeah, that could be an edge. And I mean, you brought up the Phillies. I was trying to avoid them, you know, this entire show, but that it was an awful spring training first game for them yesterday. So hopefully they can get a win today.
Yeah.
But let's switch to the NFL now. Many QB question marks are still looming, which is going to make this offseason and upcoming season, quite frankly, a treat for especially broadcasters. We have so much to talk about. Russell Wilson, the saga continues to evolve. The most important thing here, though, is that Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade from the franchise where he's played the last nine seasons of his career. He's not in the position as, you know, Deshaun Watson, where he's really trying to get out of there. But his agent did have a wish list if a scenario comes to pass. So the Bears, Cowboys, Raiders, and Saints are the targets out of those four names. Does one stand out to you, Kevin? I know we're going to go through basically all four of these teams, mm-hmm. but is there one that you're like, you know what, that one stands out. I think that is where he should go.
So I think of the four, I think the most fascinating one is the Chicago Bears, because it doesn't really make any sense.
I agree.
The Bears
are... It doesn't make any sense. And they don't even have that many first-round picks to give
like,
for him.
Ultimately, though, you're dealing with a franchise that a lot of people felt should have fired the head coach and the general manager this offseason. And if you're Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, you need to be banging down every single door imaginable to get Russell Wilson in there. If you do that, you will extend your expectancy to remain in your position with the Chicago Bears tenfold. But for Russell Wilson, who clearly cares a ton about legacy, wants to win, wants to have that say mm-hmm. and input, I understand that if he wins with the Chicago Bears, it would be legendary. I mean, I think the Chicago Bears right now love Russell Wilson as much as any quarterback that's ever come through the doors, and he's not even played. He just said he'd be willing to go there. He would clearly be adored yep. by that franchise. But if you're Russ and you're going to make this push out of Seattle, to trust the fate of that in the hands of two guys in Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy that are so firmly on the hot seat feels so dangerous to mm-hmm. me, Aaron, that they are, yep. without a doubt, the most interesting on the list, because he's willing to go there. If I'm the Bears, I do everything in my power. I offer Seattle a package so good they yep. can't hang the phone up. But I don't know how that's the squad that Russ is like, yep, that's the one for me.
Well, I think this is kind of something that we talked about when we were speaking about Deshaun Watson. Like, what does he want? Like, Deshaun Watson's young, but Russell, mm-hmm. you know, isn't as young as Deshaun Watson. He's 32. So if he wants to go to a team that's going to potentially win the Super Bowl, on paper, you're looking at these teams and you're like, okay, that's the Saints or the Cowboys. If he goes to the Bears or Raiders, he's going to be in rebuild mode. How long do you want to rebuild for? And also, do you trust the head coach and the GM? Yes, it could be legendary if you go to the Bears, but there's such a big if you do that, if mm-hmm. all these things fall in place, then maybe you have a shot instead of, let's say, you plug him into the Saints where he has a great offensive line, defensive line that could help him. But then again, it's just so many if, ands, or buts in this situation that it's kind of hard to just pick an exact team. Just the Bears, like you said, great call, just doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't even think the Raiders makes... I mean, I guess the Raiders do make sense in terms of, let's say, Derek Carr and potentially Marcus Mariota go in a package deal, but then would he want to go to the Raiders and have to deal with some of the rebuild there as well? It's just more of what he's really wanting to get out of it.
Yeah, clearly Russ wants to be, if you look through the teams, right, they say that his two sports idols are Derek Jeter and Drew Brees. So him wanting to take over for Drew Brees, retiring in New Orleans, following his footsteps, okay, you can make some sense of that. Winning in Chicago would be incredible. And then being the face of either the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll talk about Dallas in a moment, or the face of the Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas, I think he clearly feels like those are things that could be big for his career. And I also don't know how much of a rebuild it would be in Vegas. They were in the mix for the postseason just last year. They've kind of been in the race for the postseason two straight years. The thing for me with Russ is Vegas' issues last year were not Derek Carr. Derek Carr played like a top 10 quarterback in this league last season. Their defense was terrible. And if they go out there and they make a move for Russell Wilson, and again, getting Russell Wilson is incredible, but if you're Vegas, you're going to be giving up Derek Carr plus assets, and some of those assets will be necessary to try to improve that defense. I just wonder how much of a repeat scenario Russ could find himself into, the one that we saw him in the beginning of the year. Incredible numbers, but the defense is going to let him down. But I think clearly the bright lights of Vegas, Aaron, have caught his attention.
Yeah, and he's familiar with some of the people there. I mean, the defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, and offensive line coach, Tom Gable, who had the same role with the Seahawks when they won the Super Bowl. There's some people there in the Raiders organization that he is obviously has a connection to. I mean, it's doable if they, you know, put together a package. But my biggest thing is there too many miles on Russell Wilson at 32 compared to 30-year-old Derek Carr, like you said, who did play like a top 10 quarterback? And they're going to have to give up so many assets on the Raiders to get Wilson. Is it worth it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a fair question. I think you have to give a team like Vegas, though, a better chance than Chicago, because the Bears can offer all of these picks.
Oh, agree with you there, yeah.
But Vegas can offer all of the picks and Derek Carr. And I think if you're Seattle, I don't think you're looking to go into a rebuild. You have the oldest coach in the NFL in Pete Carroll, which is why the Dallas Cowboys are really interesting, Aaron, because they could send him Dak Prescott, who a lot of people think is a top 7 or 8 quarterback in this league when healthy. Coming off of the injury, of course, would be a little bit worrisome possibly for the Seahawks. Figuring out the contract would be fascinating. But if Seattle values Dak Prescott, it makes the Cowboys and them then possible trade partners.
Yeah, I thought for some reason, though, that the Cowboys wouldn't be able to trade Dak Prescott just because he would be a free agent. Even if they place him on the franchise tag for the second straight year, he could have to sign the tender before any trade could happen. But obviously, you can make anything work, especially if Dak wants out, too, if they're not paying him that amount. So that's always something. And plus, the NFC East is so much of, I mean, it was termed the NFC least this season for, you know, a reason. It's not as competitive, and maybe he'd have a better shot in the playoffs and whatnot. The Cowboys obviously seemingly could be a great trade, but I just also want to mention the Saints, just because obviously they seem the most Super Bowl ready, let's say, given that they've had the best record over the past 4 seasons. They have a talented roster. But even yesterday, the New Orleans mayor got involved on Saturday. She tweeted out a picture of her with the, you know, I guess, is it Mardi Gras, right? When you're doing the umbrella up and down. She was doing the whole New Orleans thing. She tweeted out, "I have been hearing the rumors in the streets, and I don't know if they're true or not, but I just want Russell Wilson and Ciara to know that if these rumors are true, please know that the city of New Orleans will welcome you and your family with open arms." So it's funny to see the mayor getting in on some QB rumors and talk there. I mean, I don't see that.
Tampering?
Is that what you're considering it as?
I mean, I don't know what the government officials' rules are when it comes to tampering fines, but ultimately, if you're New Orleans, right, why wouldn't you want Russell Wilson? I mean, what an incredible opportunity there to, you know, people always talk about how the, you know, Colts had that 1 year break, but they went from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, or maybe even more appropriate would be Green Bay going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. It would certainly be its own kind of unique path, but the Saints going from Drew Brees to Russell Wilson would be an incredible one. And playing for Sean Payton, we talk about the coaches on the list here. Matt Nagy, John Gruden, Mike McCarthy, Sean Payton. Like, that's a whole nother, you know, some people said Sean Payton should have won Coach of the Year. Some people were saying, I don't know which people that was, I can't remember. But, you know, some people felt like Sean Payton was a worthy Coach of the Year candidate. So I think that opportunity for Russell Wilson is one that's very, very noteworthy to play for them. Again, could they make it work? They're in cap space hell. How they have the ability to trade for Russell Wilson is beyond me. And if they do, I'm willing to say that the cap space then and the salary cap in general is completely fake in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be so interesting to see if he even does leave the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, there's a chance he just stays, but it seems like right now the relationship might be a little fractured and needs some repairing. But nonetheless, Bears, Cowboys, Raiders, Saints on that list. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We're going to hit 2 NBA games that are on the board tonight, and then Kevin has some exciting news. But let's start off with the Nuggets-Bulls. Both of these teams have won 6 of their last 10 games. Right now, Denver is favored minus 5.5 on the road. Kevin, you liking this one? I know the total is not posted just yet, But would you lay the points with the Nuggets, or would you back the Bulls here?
Oh, look, the Bulls have been typically pretty good as an underdog for us, Aaron, at home as well. This is a Denver squad that's been playing up and down. You also said it, no total just yet, but the Nuggets 12-5 to the over in their road games this year. So I think Denver and over makes a lot of sense in terms of, you know, overall. But the Bulls as a pooch, hard not to like as well.
Yeah, and especially in the player props market as well. They've been actually playing pretty decent recently. Another game, Hornets Trailblazers. So the Hornets are on a back-to-back after beating the Kings yesterday. But the Portland Trailblazers, the Hornets have lost. Hornets won on a back-to-back over the Kings. Sorry, we're talking about so many teams. I'm getting a little messed up here. Portland has lost four of their last five, but favored at home right now, -6.5. No total is posted just yet. Are you laying the points here, or are you going with the Hornets?
I'm going to take the dog here. Charlotte is an impressive 5-2 against the spread on the second leg of a back-to-back. We usually see inflated numbers there.
Yep.
People like to fade them. Portland's lost 4 in a row, and they're 4-7 ATS as a home favorite. Good spot to back Charlotte.
Yep, and then, Kevin, now tell us what some of the exciting news is that you wanted to hit on for the end of the show here.
Yeah, so tonight I'm going to be starting In Play Sports Tonight right here on the Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We get underway at 7 p.m. East Coast time all the way up until 10 p.m. East Coast time, taking you right into Coast to Coast with Scott Farrell. It's going to be myself and Donnie Wrightside. If you've seen In-Game Live, if you've seen me on there, same vibe, the land of the miracles and meltdowns. We'll be bringing that over to Sports Grid Radio alongside Donnie Wrightside. Very, very excited for it, Aaron. We get rolling tonight.
I'm excited for you. Again, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. I'm so happy for you. Can't wait to see you tonight. Nonetheless, see you tomorrow morning on the early line, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern. See you tomorrow.
Remember, you can listen.